When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Epke. This is going to be a great show. Our guest today is Sonia Marsh. Sonia is the founder of GutsyLiving.com. She's also the author of Freeways to Flip Flops, and she's currently serving a 2-year stint in the Peace Corps in Southern Africa. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thank you, Terrence. A pleasure to be here.
Okay, I'm so glad to have you today. So this show is all about adventure travel, and this season the focus is on sharing adventures and advice from fellow adventure travelers. And so I don't think anybody can dispute by the end of this show that Sonia has made some gutsy travel decisions. So I'm hoping, Sonia, if you will share briefly with the audience the backstory that led to your book, Freeways to Flip Flops, because this is an incredible story that I know the audience is going to want to hear.
Okay, so actually this was in the year 2004-2005 when my children, I have three sons, were teenagers, and at the time I was married and my husband and I decided to just sell everything we owned in Orange County, California, uproot our kids and take them to Belize in Central America. So basically we sold our house, our cars and everything, and we had several reasons to do this, the first reason being that at the time my oldest son was not doing so well in school, kind of getting in trouble, and my ex-husband now was fed up with his job and wanted a change in life, and I've always wanted adventure because I've always traveled when I was younger. So we ended up uprooting the family and moving to live in a hut, actually, in Belize. We wanted our kids to get away from the entitlement attitude that a lot of the kids had in Orange County, and we thought it would be good for them to see how other children live. And then it was a life-changing experience, as you can imagine, and it straightened out my oldest son at the time. And he came back and went to university and did really well. So overall, we had a great experience. We were planning to spend the rest of our lives in Belize, but there again, challenges. So that's what my book is about.
Yeah, and I have your book. I want everyone to know this, that it's available on Amazon. So if you go on Amazon and you can just put in search box Sonia Marsh, or you can put in Freeways to Flip Flops.
Exactly.
And it's just a great story. Y'all need to get it here. And I'm just wondering, Sonia, you did say you've done a lot of traveling before this,
mm-hmm.
and I know that you were 25 when you moved to the U.S., but up until then, you spent a lot of time traveling.
Well, actually,
right.
My first trip was at the age of 3 months. You see, I was born in Denmark. My mother was Danish, my father English, and my dad had a job in West Africa in Nigeria, so my mom had me in Denmark, and then I flew with my family to Africa, and we lived in Nigeria until I was 6 years old, and after that we moved to Paris. So I grew up in Europe and went to an English school in Paris, and then at the age of 14 I decided I wanted to go to a boarding school in England, basically because I wanted to take some subjects that weren't offered at my school in Paris. So I did that, and then I went to university in England, and then I worked in Scotland and Belgium at the EU in Brussels, and then I moved to the U.S. when I was 25, ended up getting married, and then stayed in Orange County until we moved to Belize in 2004. So that's me in a nutshell.
So you really didn't do much traveling after you got married. You were kind of focusing on raising your family. And
exactly.
You know. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so this segues into a perfect thing of what I wanted to talk about that you're doing right now. And so I'm just going to ask this, and I'm hoping you won't get offended here, but you're in the middle of a Peace Corps stint. And I know you're home right now for the holidays, which, by the way, I thank you so much for working this into your schedule.
Not at all. My pleasure.
But I know typically this is something that young adults do. And I'm not saying you're old, but you're not a young adult anymore.
No.
So I'm just kind of wondering if you could tell us, how did you come to make this decision at this point in your life, I'm going to do the Peace Corps?
Well, okay, so I'm 59, and as I say, you know, when you've traveled, it's kind of in your blood. And so what happened was my marriage ended after 28 years, which is quite a long time. And most of my life I've been self-employed, and it's kind of difficult to get into the job market after, you know, being home and doing your own thing in a, for so many years. So in the back of my mind, I had always thought about the Peace Corps, and I had been attending a lot of the meetings so that I could learn about it and meet people who had done it. And you're right, most people are about 23, 24. In my group, you know, there were four of us who were in our 50s. And so I decided to apply for the Peace Corps, and unfortunately, I got rejected, and I couldn't understand why they would reject me, because I speak foreign language, I have a university degree, and I was really frustrated, and the recruiter here in Orange County said, reapply immediately. So I changed my resume. I took a course in London called the TESOL, which is teaching English to speakers of other languages, just as a backup in case I couldn't get into the Peace Corps, then I could teach English, say, in China or Taiwan or somewhere. And the Peace Corps liked the fact that I'd taken this certificate, and so they placed me as an English teacher in Lesotho. It's spelled L-E-S-O-T-H-O, but it's pronounced Lesotho, and it's a landlocked country in southern Africa. It's got a population of 1.9 million, and it's called the Mountain Kingdom. I'm actually 6,000 feet up in the mountains in a rural village. So, yeah, so that's what ended up happening. I moved there in October of last year, and it's 27 months, and I'm teaching English in this very remote village. My life is completely different. You would not, you can't even visualize it. I mean, no
so
showers.
You're halfway through your stint right now, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, I've been reading your post, and I've been enjoying them a lot. You all need to get the information at the end of this show to subscribe to her blog, because her posts really give good insight. And I can tell from reading your post, this has been a huge learning experience for you, which is great, because that's what travel should be.
Right.
You know, you should have a takeaway from that. There's always something. But I guess I'm trying to figure out, what do you feel like the biggest life lesson or the biggest takeaway that you've gotten so far from this experience? What's affected you the most from doing this?
I think in my situation, I think that I have, you know, I told you I was married for 28 years. I think a lot of times when you're married, your identity gets kind of mixed up with your spouse. And you, even though I consider myself extremely independent, I feel that this year has, with all the challenges I've gone through and having to put up with very difficult situations in some circumstances. I'm not saying that my safety is an issue, but just living without electricity, without running water, without privacy, I have learned to become really confident in myself and who I am and know what I want in life. And also I've been helping obviously, children, and I feel that I have connected, I wouldn't say with all the children, because it is difficult to motivate those children who, basically, I hate to say it, but they're starving. A lot of them don't have enough food, but I have tried to motivate them to think of their future, because that is one thing that these, unfortunately, the children in Lesotho don't really have any ambition. And I feel that I have motivated a couple, at least, of girls in seventh grade to think a little bit more about what they can do with their life other than staying in the village. And that part has been extremely rewarding for me. So basically self-confidence, knowing that I have now a purpose in life and feeling that I have done some good for other people.
I love the pictures that you've sent in your post, you know. Those have been as worth as much as the text, because it really does, you know, provide so much information when you have a visual to go with the story. Because, and you have been doing so much. The projects you're doing, like with the school, trying to remodel the school and everything. And I've spent a lot of time in Africa. It's one of my areas of expertise. So I know some of the frustrations with getting things done in Africa, because there's a different mindset. And luckily I haven't had to go in and accomplish things, but I know, like, timing. You know, you're like, we're late, we're going to miss the plane, and there's no concept of that. You don't rush, you know.
Exactly.
There's nothing urgent. So things are very different. So I'm just wondering, did you choose Lesotho, or how does that work in the Peace Corps? Do you get to say where you want to go? Or?
No, I'll be honest with you. I did not request that country. I didn't even know it existed. Most people have never heard of it. I did not request it, but when I was rejected the first time, I was told that it's better to put that you will go anywhere and you will do anything, even though they say that you have three choices. I wanted a tropical island because Belize is tropical. I love water. I love swimming. And I wanted to teach French. I mean, I wanted a French-speaking country because I'm fluent. And I also wanted to help women start businesses, because that's kind of what I was doing before I left. So those were the things that I had in mind. And you can tell, a landlocked country, no French, and teaching is not exactly what I put down. But sometimes you're supposed to do things that you don't think you're supposed to do.
What do they say? You make a plan and God laughs at it. So, I mean,
So I really don't regret where I've been put. I mean, as I say, it's been challenging. But coming back quickly to the project, I'm very proud that I managed to do fundraising in 1 week for my school and fix the roof. And I found a local guy to do the work. Now, the reason that my job was done in 17 days is because I picked before Christmas, and a lot of the Lesotho people want to get extra money before Christmas to buy presents for the family. So I think I picked the perfect time to get the job done in 17 days. There was no waste of time then.
That's very impressive. In fact, the whole thing, I just can't tell you how admirable I think it is for anybody to go do, because it is a big, I mean, it's 27 months of your life, you know, and a lot of people to be able to just put your life here on hold and go off, you know. And at 59, I'll be honest with you, by yourself. I'm not knowing anybody, not knowing where they're going to put you or anything, or what it's going to be like. That's incredible. So kudos to you for that. So
that does bring me
to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, was let's just kind of change gears and talk about solo travel. If we could here. I'm hoping that you might be able to share some tips for other women, the traveling alone. What would you say to someone? Say someone's sitting at home and they're listening to this show, and they would love to have a little bit of adventure in their life. They'd love to do some traveling, but they're afraid, maybe because she's a woman and she'd be traveling by herself, and, you know, you know the state of affairs in the world these days, situations and all that. So what would you say to tell them to get up, get out, get, you know, do it?
Right.
You know.
Well, first of all, you know, it's like anything else. You just do it. And honestly, if you don't pick the danger spots in the world, everybody knows that. But even in Lesotho and in South Africa, those ladies that were my age and who were also in the Peace Corps, you know, they just go around and travel on their own. It's not dangerous. You don't go hitchhiking. I would suggest that if you want to do something for the first time, why not book a tour? At least with a tour, you would feel safe. You would feel that you were with other people. And that's what I would do is if I go on a safari or something, I wouldn't go on my own, obviously. I would book a tour the first time and or go with a friend. So I don't think it's dangerous at all. You just don't go out at night. Don't go out alone at night. You know, things that make right. sense that you wouldn't do, say, even in America, in certain parts of certain cities in the U.S., you have to be careful at night. So I think the media gives us false information or makes us feel afraid of things. Now, of course, I wouldn't go to Aleppo. I wouldn't go to certain parts of the world, but in South Africa, you know, it's Cape Town, the Garden Route, all those places are safe.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go out with a ton of money on you, but, you know, you just there are a lot of people who travel alone, so I don't think it's dangerous at all, and certainly not in Europe. Going to, you know, England, France, Denmark, wherever. So maybe you could start small and then just get a feel for it and get your confidence up.
And what I tell people, my suggestion is to do your research before you
yeah.
go. And like you mentioned, South Africa, it's one of the safest places. People have no idea. There's very little disease or crime or anything. Cape Town, you can walk around in and all.
Yeah.
The only thing is in the townships outside of
right.
Johannesburg and all, you shouldn't go on your own.
No.
And
right,
that's something that basic research, you know, will tell you. So if you just do a, you know, this day and age now with so many resources, you can just go online and do some research and all, just kind of make sure you know more about where you're going. And, of course, I always tell people, like, be very careful about your discussions. I try not to get into political or religious discussions anywhere.
Right, right.
Yeah, because that's just not a good way to go with that. So, but if you just use common sense, do a little research, you know, just do the same thing, like you said, at home where, you know, you're not standing out in the middle of the street counting a big wad of money or something.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, just common sense, yeah. So, but
yeah.
you're like me, you're telling people it's still good to travel as long as you have some common sense, because, you know, it's just, you know, I hate to think of people that just think I shouldn't go because I'm alone or, you know, maybe this isn't safe or something, because it's really, it's just so much out there to see and do, and there's so many great adventures. And you don't have to join the Peace Corps, but that is an option. I want people to know.
Right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Peace Corps go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say the Peace Corps is definitely, if you want to experience a long period of time in a specific country and get to know the culture. Because obviously when you're on holiday, you're not seeing the same as when you're living there. But anyway, I mean, I love traveling. And my favorite thing, I love airports. I just absolutely, you know, Johannesburg Airport, wherever, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, I always try to pick airlines that I've never tried before, because honestly, you experience new types of you know, food, new service. Not you don't have to go always on the same airlines. Just try new ones, and
right. And it's great,
it's
to people
fun.
Watch in the airports, isn't it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yep.
Oh yeah. That's great. And there are other places that you can also volunteer besides the Peace Corps, where you can do much shorter stints and still have a
yes.
cultural immersion experience. Earthwatch is one of them that
right.
comes to mind. And there's a bunch of others, and that's another thing that you people can do some research. And you can do things as short as 1 or 2 weeks and get
a feel for
something.
I did that in Thailand. I did that with a group called Bamboo Project in Thailand. And what I did was I wanted a little experience teaching in a poor district school, but they also had working with the elephants. That was another
right.
thing they offered. And they also had working with dogs and cats that are rescues. So they have all kinds of fun and interesting things that you can do for a period, 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever.
So, there's archaeological digs even you can go do. I mean, there's something for everybody, literally. So this is just one facet there, but it's a really interesting thing because so many of us say, you know, at one point I thought I might do that, and I never got to it. And my life kind of got in the way, and I didn't get there and all that. So, you know, now's the time. Go travel. So that's the message I want people to get from this, is that you're never too old. It's never too late to go have an adventure. So, okay, so we're almost out of time. So before we close, I just want to make sure that anyone interested can follow you and find out more. And so I'm telling people gutsyliving.com, or is there some other information you'd like to provide?
Sonia Marsh, and it's S-O-N-I-A M as in Mary, ARSH.com. SoniaMarsh.com, that's my name. And you can subscribe to my blog if you are interested on the landing page. So I have a lot of stories about what goes on in my village, and I share them, and I try to make them funny as well as serious. So, yeah, it's nice to share how other people live. Because not everybody gets to see that.
Yeah, and even if you're not interested in doing this, if this seems extreme to you, you can be an armchair traveler and live vicariously here. But do check this out here. And before we run out of time here, is there anything else you'd like to add? Is there anything I didn't cover, Sonia, before we go?
No, I think you covered everything. I don't really have anything specific, except I tell people you can always find excuses to not do something. I mean, at every age in life, there's always an excuse. So you're right. You might as well just do it. And once you do it, oh, my gosh, your mind will feel it enriches you. It's just unbelievable. And I get tired of routine. So every 3 or 4 months, I like to do something completely different. And that's kind of why I come back here, because I feel like I'm two different people. I'm the African woman, and I'm the California woman. So, you know, it's life is exciting.
Do you think you'll write a book on this when you finish your stuff?
I would like to. I keep a journal, and I think my focus will be a little bit about, you know, divorcing and what can you do next in your life rather than sit and feel sorry for yourself, you know?
Right. Absolutely. You are a great role model for all of us. It's so impressive.
Thank you. I'm not that special, but anybody can do it.
Well, I just think it's just wonderful the things you've done. And like I said to people, you need to get her book, Free Ways to Flip Flops, because she's got some great stories. Sonia's got some great stories,
thank you.
And she's very candid about her experiences. She'll tell you. She doesn't pull any punches. She shares it.
No. I'm too outspoken, unfortunately.
But that's great, though, because people want to hear the real deal. They really do, because that's important, too, that you know. So anyway, I just want to thank you again for being on the show and sharing all your adventures with us, and taking the time out. And we wish you the best when you go back to finish your Peace Corps time in Lesotho.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay. Now, I'm also going to have contact information for Sonia posted on TerrenceTalksTravel.com, as well as all archive episodes of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. They can also be found on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. But if you sign up for my weekly newsletter, you'll also receive a free 50-page travel tips report and find all kinds of travel tips, information, and resources. So, that's all for now, but I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures, so please stay tuned.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense, like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.